I'm asserting myself right now on your program.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you mean, assert myself.
Well,
it's chess two to tango and chess two to play a game of chess. Like, you don't always just sit down and play against myself, do you?
Well, you could pick someone. You could pick some Icelandic champion.
All right. I'm interested, yeah. But you know, we have to get a sponsor, yeah.
If we get the sponsor, we would love to have you over.
Yeah.
I'm sure Simon would be.
Yes, of course.
That's me. Peter Random, you know, not the old chess.
Right, right.
Peter Random, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That's the game where you... Can you explain to me just a few words?
Yes, I think the rules are on the internet also. It's basically the old chess. It uses everything is the same, except a computer shuffles the back row of each side, but they both are shuffled into the identical position, you see, symmetrical, like in the old chess, except for just a couple of conditions. One rook is to the left of the king, and one rook is to the right of the king, and one bishop will be on a light-colored square, and one bishop will be on a dark-colored square, and it's 960 possible starting positions.
Yeah.
And you can castle on either side, just like in the old chess. I mean, very similar to the old chess, not just like in it. You see, before you castle, the position may be different, but after you castle into the same position as the old chess. So the point is, you have 960 starting positions. I think it's too much theory for any human being to try and organize in his brain, you know what I mean? Just too much. It's so very complicated, just this one starting position. But what will it be like if people have to try and learn theory from 960 different starting positions, right?
So it won't be pre-programmed and boring.
Well, right, right. It'll be more a game of skill, and it'll be more fun, and hopefully it'll cut down on the cheating, too, on the pre-arrangement, you know?
Well, then why don't we try to put that up in Reykjavik one day?
Okay, let's do it. Do it. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, you'd be willing to.
I'm definitely willing. Yeah, if I get my condition, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
How much money would you require? Do you know?
Well, what you said is not bad.
I thought of it. Yeah, but I'm sure Simon would love to meet you again.
Yeah, I want to meet him again. I want to meet his twin brother too.
Yeah.
I still remember his twin brother, like one eye is a different color from the other, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
you remember a little girl?
Yeah.
You remember a little girl you were holding on to?
Oh, I got a couple of them. You're a little girl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, she had a daughter.
I thought you meant that stewardess and her girlfriend, aren't you?
No. She had a daughter, you know, was to be 12 years old on your birthday, you know that?
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I definitely like
your family.
Yeah. You have a great country, very civilized people, you know.
Right. Yeah, yes. And also I would be willing to see you, or looking forward to that. I don't know.
Just get out of NATO, close down the U.S. Embassy, kick out the U.S. Ambassador, close down the base in Keflavik, get out of NATO, get out of the U.N.,
But isn't it a problem for you, Mr. Richard, to travel to Iceland, that's a NATO country?
Well,
you'll be forced to, have you over. That's a
discussion. Well, I don't know. I've been to Germany and Italy. They're also NATO countries. And Japan has also got a lot of military bases. The U.S. hasn't got the guts to touch me.
No, I don't think so.
They haven't got the guts.
No, I don't think so.
Haven't got the guts.
Yes.
Full of
yes.
shit. John Ashcroft, if you're listening...
Don't let the words to you.
John Ashcroft, if you're listening, you're a son of a bitch. That's not full letter. You're a son of a bitch.
There was a vote on the internet. I saw on an internet site, they were voting on who was stronger, you in 1972, or Garry Kasparov in his prime, which is past now.
Kasparov won
by 70%.
How can you compare me with a crook? I've never prearranged a game in my life. This Kasparov, most of the games he's played in his life were prearranged. Most. Not some. Most.
Mm-hmm.
Most.
Yeah. Do you take pride in your achievements?
Yes, I do, yes. Because everything I've got, I got the fairway, no prearrangements, no deals, nothing. I don't think anybody else can say that. I don't think there's somebody told my friend Barbera, who passed away recently, sadly, who was a Russian trainer, I think from the Caucasus, I forget where, and he said, Fischer is the only honest chess player since World War II.
Oh. Yeah, well, the Russians certainly cheated a lot way back then.
They cheat a lot, not then. They cheat more today because it's easier to cheat today. It's easier to create plausible prearranged games now working with computers because the computer takes care of the tactics for you, you see? It's much easier to prearrange, infinitely easier today. I think you can prearrange a game 1,000 or 10,000 times faster today than before.
Are you in contact with anybody in the chess world, the chess community at all?
Am I in? Yeah, sure.
Like Boris Spassky?
No, I haven't been in touch with him a long time, no.
No.
He just had to speak to me, what?
How do you, you played in 1992, how do you, what status have you had in your mind?
Oh, he's a very great chess player, but he's a crook like all these other Russian Jews, you know.
Well, Mr. Fischer, my show is almost over.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure having you here.
Okay.
It seems you will continue to be the same controversial figure you have been for the last decade.
Yeah, okay.
That will not change.
Yeah.
No. Yeah,
I've been trying to get on the Iceland radio for over a year and a half. A year and a half ago, this was about the spring or summer of 2000, I called up to your president, you know that?
Right, yes, I know.
And I asked to get if he could help me to get on the radio in your country, and he said he would try, but he said this is not a dictatorship, it's a democracy, I can't tell the media what to do. And I never heard from anybody, see?
So
even the president couldn't get me on, but Sammy Paulson did it. So
Sammy Paulson had trouble.
Yeah, the president couldn't or wouldn't get me on the radio in Iceland because probably the U.S. ambassador told him, "This guy's bad news. Keep him off the air. We don't want him telling the truth about the U.S. What a rotten, filthy Jewish country it is."
You know, Bobby, you're already well known here. Nobody thinks badly of you, you know.
You did
a great thing here.
And I know that a lot of anti-American feeling, a lot of resentment about that Keflavik, it's a real shame that Icelandic Airlines has to fly into a U.S. base. What a humiliation.
Close down, they refuse
to go. If they refuse to go, send them some letters with anthrax. They'll get the message.
That's a bit of interesting. I'd like to, just to finish, I'd like you to say farewell to Sammy.
Okay, Sammy. Wonderful to talk to you again, and I hope this is just the beginning of renewing our friendship.
Likewise. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to mailing you, talking to you, and
I want to get on other radio programs. Other radio programs in Iceland. I want to go on for much longer time, hour, 2 hours, even 4 or 5 hours. I don't care how small the station is in Iceland. Yeah. I want to get on. I want to talk. I have a lot of things to say. We just scratched the surface now.
Okay. That's good.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you very much, Bobby Fischer in Japan. Thank you.
Okay. Just I want to say goodbye to everybody in Iceland. Thank you. Nice to talk to you again.
Okay, Bobby.
Bye.
Bye, friend.
Yeah.